Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, we ask for your guidance, protection, provision as we examine our own life in this world. In Jesus' name, amen. And what a world it is. We are in the world, but not of it. In the world, yes, that's our location, but not of it. Our essence is not made of the world. Our essence consists of the Spirit of God. Yes, we have a body made from the dirt, but we have a spirit which is breathed into us by God. And what do you think we should pay more attention to? Our body, which is living until it dies, or our spirit, which lives forever? The answer is obvious, isn't it? But as you know, we get a sliver in our finger, or a headache, or a hunger in our stomach, and, yeah, we know where our attention goes. We pay attention to the things in the world because it's a part of who we are. And yet we know we have our decision for Jesus Christ, and that's a part of who we are. And as we go through this process of life, of living, and life goes on, but we pay more and more attention to the spiritual part of who we are. And we recognize our individual decisions, they make a difference in how we deal with it all. Our decisions, they define us. So look at those issues, the ones which we must face, and look at them in advance so that we each can make better decisions. I hope that through this radio broadcast, I am bringing you ideas and information and considerations for you to consider. Bring them to your attention so that you can be more satisfied with your decisions. As we are being guided by God, so let me ask you, do you hear from God? Is it when you are in prayer? Is it when you are in praise and worship or singing hymns? Or is it that other frequently done way by reading the Bible? I think always, but especially in troubled times, we want to hear from God. And that means being prepared to hear from God and to obey. God's voice always lines up with what he says in the Bible. I've heard this from enough men of God to think anything different from that would not be so. God will only tell you things which line up with his word, and never anything that is bad or evil or that goes against his commandments. Now, I've heard this example of people, they'll point out that God said, well, kill all those tribes in Israel. And yeah, sure enough, he did say that. Israel being the land of milk and honey at the time of the Exodus from Egypt. And God said to go and possess that land. Yeah, I've read it, and God did say it. And there's evidence that those tribes which God said to kill every one of were tribes of giants, of people or beings that opposed God. And also, by the way, those tribes, those giants, didn't mind killing people, humans, and eating them. So they needed to be eliminated because they opposed God. Sure, I don't know this whole story. I think there's more things than we actually know about, but that seems to be a pretty good part of it. And here we are trying to figure things out. That's just so human. We are humans, and we want to, well, justify what we want. That's a part of it. We want to justify all sorts of things. We want to justify, what we do and our movements or our wars or anything like that, other people groups. And yeah, we have Syria today. What's going on in Syria? You know, not even a week ago, it seems like we almost went to war, sort of. So can we really justify attacking another country, another nation? You know that it could easily be said that it could turn into the start of World War III if we were to have a military conflict in Syria. And there's a lot of information that we just don't know about what is happening there or why. So sad that children, mothers, women, and men were killed by the gas attack. But who did the attack? There's so many things we don't know. Would it be sensible for the Syrian government to attack in that way? And at this time, right when they are winning the war against terrorists in their own country, and they're just using conventional weapons to do that. No, the use of chemical weapons was not right, but we don't know the whole story. And are we, the United States, going to jump in without knowing the whole story? Well, we had better be cautious and with whatever involvement we have, and be wise and righteous. Yeah, I wasn't there, and I don't know what happened, and probably you weren't there either. So let's trust someone to tell us what really happened there. Ha, yeah, but who? Do you remember before the United States sent the massive troops and equipment into Iraq in 1991? We were told that little helpless babies were killed by Iraqi soldiers. And it turned out that story about the babies was a lie. It was a complete lie. But still, we went over, we the United States, we spent our money, we spent the health of our soldiers, and the people over there too. We spent the lives of our U.S. military. And it was all based upon an outright and intentional lie. We have forces that are pushing us into a battle, into a war, into one situation or the other. We have to be sure that we are justified in what we do. And there's also the concern about the expenditures for a war. Our nation is $20 trillion in debt. How can we afford anything? $20 trillion in debt. The best way that I have to express how great an amount that is to compare it in seconds with millions, billions, and trillions. 1 million seconds is 12 days. 1 billion seconds is 32 years. And 1 trillion seconds is 32,000 years. Million, billion, trillion. 12 days, 32 years, 32,000 years. And we are $20 trillion in debt. Ah. Ah. And we pay interest on this national debt. Now, I've seen sources. The sources are quite different in what the amount of interest that we pay on our national debt. It seems like the best numbers are $216 billion and $310 billion. Whatever it is, it's a lot of interest to pay. And just think how we could use that money otherwise. But no, we pay it on interest. And $20 trillion, it's so much money. But the debt seems to be growing for all countries and for the entire planet. Yes, and so in the last year, the total debt for the entire planet has risen by 10%. To $230 trillion. That's what the whole planet owes. And who does it owe the money to? It's the bankers, the international bankers. They own the debts, they own the payments, and ultimately, maybe they will own the assets. Who knows what'll happen when, well, we have a financial system crash? We just might. And more and more people believe that there is going to be a financial crash soon, not just in this country, but worldwide. So who will end up owning what? Isn't that a good question? And I don't mean that I really know the answer, because I don't. It's just one of those questions. And how do we protect ourselves? In the meanwhile, from the financial turmoil, the best answer I can see is to eliminate all of your debt, or at least whatever debt that you can. And for our nation, how do we solve our national debt problem? We have such a huge interest payment on that national debt. Well, I suppose we either pay the loans down or what? Maybe we get into a war and that will distract us from all the problems that we have. Well, it's happened in the past. It could happen again. But there are other ideas. The point is we have to do something to solve our financial problems on a personal level, business-wise, city-wise, state-wise, and for our federal government, yes. But there's turmoil going on, and what is happening in our world? Lots of different things, including what's going on in the Middle East. Yes, indeed, it could turn into World War III. You know that over a year ago, Pope Francis, he said we were in the beginning stages of World War III. Pope Francis, he also said that we can expect war, famine, and cosmic catastrophe. He just didn't know when, but he was expecting it. And that is no surprise because it is written in the Bible. Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21. All those places, it is described very similar that we will be having war, famine, and a cosmic catastrophe. So, what will happen and when? That is really the question. I know that India, you've heard, India right now, they are building 13,000 medium, small nuclear bunkers. 13,000, that's a lot. And in addition to that, there's 1,400 large nuclear bunkers. That large means community-sized. So obviously, India is very concerned about nuclear war. Other countries are too, including Russia. There's just lots of countries. Well, both China and Russia have warned the United States not to make an unprovoked attack on North Korea, or they would militarily respond. So apparently China and Russia, they're not too concerned about war. And the way our president is talking, maybe he's not too concerned about war either. But what will happen? What will develop in Syria? We can only guess. Certainly Israel is involved, but we don't know what it will develop into. But there is a significant reason with all that is going on for you to think about getting preparedness or food and water supplies now. Before anything starts to become active, if there is a big concern, supplies will not be available. So get your supplies and your food now while things are easy to get and available. We have a little thing going on here with Russia's. They have a new cruise missile that is navigationally superior to our cruise missile. Their cruise missiles have a significantly greater range than ours, and their cruise missiles have the ability to change their course while in flight, either up or down or sideways. Now, because Russia has this capacity right now and we do not, that definitely puts us at greater risk right now because they have a superior advantage to us militarily in that area. But it still is something to consider about risk. So whether the United States goes to war or not, well, we've got things going on, and apparently that decision is in the hands of our president, and he has a lot going on right now, a lot of aggravating things. There's several situations around him that certainly he would rather not have the trouble with, and have you noticed, in a historical sense, that war is a great distraction from troubles? So, it's something to think about, too. It's a reason, a logical reason, for there to understand that a war could develop. He has concerns because there's situations coming right at him. A Russian collusion investigation is one of them. And the man who is in charge of that, or a part of that investigation, is Mueller, and he has motivated the FBI to raid the home and office and hotel room of the president's attorney, his personal attorney. So whatever happened to the honored status of the client-attorney privilege? Oh, we are on a slippery slope. We don't know what could happen, but there are things that are just kind of active. Where it will land, nobody knows. But see, there's some other things that our president is facing also. One is just his concern for his family and for himself, because this month, a Trump helicopter was barely able to land. It could have crashed because the engine died. And Ivanka, Trump, and Jared Kushner were on board. They escaped just fine, but it could have been serious. And before that, there was another Svarsky-Trump helicopter event. That happened in July of 2017, when its tail rotor flew off as it was landing, and that could have been catastrophic. Donald Trump was on board at that time, and so were two Secret Service agents. So things are happening that could be pretty serious. What a coincidence. Two events. Was that a coincidence? Well, I think anybody who is familiar with aircraft or helicopter maintenance will tell you how impossible it was to have even one event like that, let alone two events in less than a year. Yes, I think that prayer would be a good thing to do. We need to pray for the safety of and well-being of our country, and certainly that it returns to godliness. Well, back to the presidency. There's other frustrations that the president is experiencing, like trying to eliminate that so-called dirtier element in Washington, D.C., And like it has been said, drain the swamp. Yeah, that's what he wanted, but he is discovering that it's not quite so easy to do as he once thought it was. No, there's a lot of entrenched people in Washington, D.C., and it's making it hard for our president to operate with, for instance, getting his cabinet appointments filled or the staff that he wanted there. There's just complications. Pressures are being put upon this presidency. And then there was the independent counsel who was to investigate the president's collusion with Russian interests. And that is more involved than we think with its intricacies. We do know that the Donald Trump presidential campaign did accept a $150,000 campaign donation from a Ukrainian businessman, Viktor Pinichuk, and that was questioned as if it had Russian association attached to it. But did we hear anything about that same Ukrainian businessman, Viktor Pinichuk, that he donated over $6 million to the Clinton Foundation? Somehow that just didn't get reported. Well, that $6 million was between 2009 and 2013, so it was over a few years. But nobody investigated the foundation or anything to do with that. No, not really. Nothing official was done. And do we even remember those 30,000 emails that were missing, just erased, deleted, and then bleach-bitted right off of the devices involved? Oh, there are things going on. Something that is going on, but is just the sexual improprieties that are going on, and that is an area that we just question into. We don't know, but there has been a problem in this area with many of the past presidents of the United States. Very bad behaviors, but I don't want to go into that. I don't have enough information either. But the situation in Syria could become serious. It could be very involved. We don't know what happened. We don't know how anything happened, or even really what happened. Now, I know I have seen Bashar Assad, the king of Syria, interviewed, and his interviews and his responses indicate that he does have concern for his people, a genuine concern, and his answers, everything I can tell, are genuine and truthful. And I just don't see why there would be two gas attacks spaced in the timing that they occurred. And each side is telling completely different stories, you know that. So I don't know what went on. I know I'm concerned about the violence and the murders over there. But even in our own country, we have violence and murders. So much occurs in our own country. In our own land here. It's not investigated so much over here. We have problems here. And over there in Syria, sure, investigate that, but it's not our country. So there are inconsistencies. Hey, you know, another inconsistency is the thing that's going on in England now with that Skripal family. They are a Russian family that is living in England, and there were two members of that family that were seriously poisoned with Novichok gas. It was a nerve gas that was developed by the Russians in the 1980s. So it is considered to be a Russian nerve gas. But the ingredients, they are relatively simple. kind of like off-the-shelf ingredients. And the formula for this nerve gas has been published in at least two books about 20 years ago. One was in the United States and one book was in France. And that's what Google says. That was 20 plus years ago. So it's not that it's a Russian nerve gas exactly. It could be duplicated by any other laboratory, including the one in North Korea, which there was a certain, the Novichok nerve gas was used to kill the half-brother of Kim Jong-un, the dictator of North Korea, in 2017. Yeah, I remember that happening, but they said it was from a nerve gas, but I didn't realize it was this almost the exact same nerve gas, Novichok nerve gas. So we can see both how people can make the association with it being a Russian nerve gas and how it could be simply contrived, a made-up connection there. There is just so much we just don't know. We look into things, or we listen to people who do. I know I do. My mind does not live in this area all the time. I think about so many other things. No, I don't dwell on it, but I do retain little bits of information so that I can remember them and examine them, and then I let them go. And sure, I talk about these things on the radio. But overall, I have an outlook of joy and peace. It's not all about all these problems. I hope you do, too. It is important to listen to the problems, pay attention to them, and see how you want to respond to these potentially serious situations. That's why I talk about it. It's because people don't realize how serious these certain things can be or how they can suddenly affect your life. That's why I talk about this, because the way I see it, it is reasonable to have preparations. Preparations in life, which are the physical ones, and preparations for death, which is the spiritual part. And I hope I give you some ideas about what you might want to do to prepare. Yep, the physical preparations are the second most important. And the first most important concern is that you have spiritual preparation by having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Because, yeah, who knows what'll happen? Well, we know that death is certain, and they say taxes are too. So, we keep trying to struggle with grasping information and then making sense of it and doing something. And sometimes the information just seems to disappear. You've noticed that. How books get out of print, or nowadays it's the computer cloud, that the information just disappears. And I've heard of it both ways. Sometimes the information does just disappear and it cannot be found again. And sometimes the information is changed, that is, with key words. For instance, when an author puts up an article or even a book on the internet, and it all is 99% the way it was originally, but then somehow there are changes that are written into their text, their book script, and nobody knows how it could have happened, but there it is. Things, words have changed, and that changes the meaning of what the books was trying to convey. Yes, things get deleted, and things get changed, and that's just the way it is in our world. Nowadays with the electronics, and before that with books and papers, There is a disinformation campaign for lots of things, and we have to struggle to understand and see what the theme is of the things that are going on around us. Always it's a battle between good and evil, or God and Satan. So, like I said, there's people who I've known who find out that things have been changed. There's also people who I've just had a little acquaintance with, and I try to get more information from them or about them, and I find out, they've moved to some distant location. Or, this has happened plenty of times, they got some fast-acting cancer, and they died. And that was just from a year before, maybe 2 years before, and all of a sudden, they and their information are no longer available. It just happens. There are things that go on in in the world. There's even the secret witness relocation programs. I always wonder about those because I think if somebody really needs to become a part of that problem, they just seem to disappear. And I guess that's good if you're dealing with good and honest and moral people, but if you're not, then who knows what happens after you disappear? Who knows? You might be disappearing for good, or they might be. So I say the answer is just do the right thing in life. You don't want to take a chance on disappearing through one of those secret programs. No, I say live well according to God's rules and God's laws, and you will never have anything to hide. So give that some really good consideration. Yeah. I don't think it's good to be a part of any secret society or secret organization. And don't have any secret sins either. No, just be as right as you can be. I'm glad I never was in a secret organization or a secret anything. I know from my reading, I've learned just little bits here and there about secret societies or organizations, and I don't want to be a part of anything secret or anything that is a very confidential government or business group. No, I don't want to be a part of that. Just let me be who I am and reflect that. I also wouldn't want to be a part of any group that would want to limit our population, because that idea, by extension, becomes a group that would take innocent human life, and that's murder. So, yeah, be real careful on what you support, and that includes those certain humanitarian causes. And nowadays, those humanitarian causes can cause a nation to go to war. That's what we're talking about in Syria, potentially. Well, pray, and seek God's wisdom, not man's wisdom. Seek God's wisdom. Well, we sure can think of a lot, can't we? It is interesting. It's interesting to have all the different ideas that people have. And as you probably know, we are about in a Jubilee year. And in the Hebrew tradition, in the Hebrew religion, there are certain years and certain numbers that have importance in their tradition and in their logical way of thinking. And one of those is the 50-year Jubilee. They have 49 years, and that is called a week of sevens. But after the 49 years, the next year is the 50th year. And according to that Hebrew tradition, a family's land is returned to that family in the 50th year, so they can never lose their land. That's how land is cherished. There's another tradition that that is 70 years long, and that is the length of a biblical generation. And there's something going on right now, which is the state of Israel is having its 70-year anniversary from 1948, and the next 70-year date is 2018. And then there's in addition to that, there's the 50 years from the 1967 war, which Israel regained possession of Jerusalem. That's another event that targets the 2018 year. So there's people who put a lot of significance on 2018. They have their own ideas about what it means, and I think it's good to listen to. But with 2018 being that significant year, it apparently runs from April of 2018 to April of 2019. So there's lots of people who are getting lots of ideas, different ideas. Listen to them if you want to, but be diligent about how you have conclusions. The people have different ideas, like I've said. They might be correct. I don't know, but it's something to bear in mind anyway. There are people who talk about that rapture date as occurring all sorts of times, and people have speculations, and a lot of them have good ideas, and it's worth looking at. It's just that we have to remember that it's God's determination. He determines these things, and He does these things perfectly, and we don't. So, what do? We get prepared for the just in case, because you don't know what'll happen. We might be here a whole lot longer than you think. So, prepare for the long term. And another part of that is the conditions might be a whole lot more severe than you are considering. More severe for a longer time that you are here on this earth. And I don't know, I just see different possibilities. So I say, whether it's a short time or a long time, get your food and supplies gathered, because even if it doesn't help you, it's going to help someone else in a big way. So I do think about the 2018 date. One of the things that is going on also is it is said that we are going to open our United States Embassy in Jerusalem on the same date as the commemoration of the year that Israel became a state, May 14th, 1948 to May 14th, 2018. The 70th anniversary is when the United States is talking about opening their embassy in Jerusalem. So, people have different significances that they're putting on things. Some people are even saying, hey, we're going to be raptured. We'll see about that. I don't know that God would take his workers out of the fields at harvest time. Because that's what we're here to do. We're here to be a part of the world. In the world, but like they say, not of it. Harvest time. See, that's a part of what we're doing, harvesting. We are harvesting the fields, and that is to help with the bringing the souls to Jesus, to God. It's a mystery. It certainly is. Who knows what it really means? There's so many people who have ideas. It's just astounding. They put out their information about how they interpret some soon coming event, Maybe it's the rapture, maybe it's something else. It's interesting, but it doesn't mean they're right. And in fact, for all the people in the past who have had ideas, well, you know, it wasn't right. But interesting, yes, and it just means that we should be paying attention. The time could swiftly be upon us. Now, I have liked that people put things together. They do a good job of putting things together. But I've also found that if they're not using a normal version of the Bible, that they're using their own special religion's Bible, well, things take on a different meaning. And I can only urge you, study that Bible yourself. Have an idea what it means, and then know as specifically as you can what it means. That's what you need to not be deceived, so that your salvation is assured. And it's your personal responsibility to know that you have salvation, and the best way we are assured of that is to study God's Word, the Bible. And I do think that that's the most important thing we can do. We get guidance from it, and a part of that guidance can be to have a storehouse. Sure, food security, financial stability, it's all your responsibility right along with your salvation. So keep looking. Look! Just look at the different things. Look at emergency type of situations too, because in these days it seems like we've been having them worldwide, and natural disasters have happened worldwide. When will it be our turn? I don't know, but it just goes to show you that events are going on and we ought to be prepared. So take steps to ensure your own security, your food security, and your future. If you look in history, you can see that the people who did not do this, who had no supplies, well, they didn't do so well. And I think today we are kind of in that position where we look to somebody else to help us. Who do we look at to help us? Well, sometimes it's our church. Sometimes it's our government. Sometimes it's just people that we can ask for help from. Maybe beg for help from our neighbors or the people who were just walking by. It's just a question. So there. Now, it doesn't mean that government doesn't help people. They do. But the government's main function, just like FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency, their main function is to ensure that the government continues in the event of a major disaster. It is not to provide, well, to providing help for the people is a secondary part of it. So that part that we all have in us, which is to have the nature of self-preservation, is what we want to think about. It's natural that we look to preserve ourselves and our family and our group. But you can expand that too. Just think about other people. Other people have these things. There's church bodies, there's organizations, and there's government. There are lots of caring people around. But so often, people look to people to take care of themselves. And there's not the expectation that you're going to take care of a lot of other people. So consider this in your plans. What would happen if there were bankruptcies all around you? If the government went bankrupt even? That is real, with a $20 trillion national debt. Oh yes, it's real. And how about our retirement programs, our pension funds? We've seen what has happened in other countries. Don't be surprised if it happens here. For our benefits to be cut by one-third. Sure, it can happen. Lots of things can happen. So don't be surprised. Just consider that it could be a reality that we could soon face. And do think about sharing. Think about the people who have been wise in the Bible, who have stored up. They have had food stores. And yes, they share. I think about the kind of food that stores. Now, everybody has their own ideas about that. I think I'll talk about that in a minute again. But now, so the idea is, I like the grains because they last and they last and they last. You don't have to have special storage. They will last in the hot and in the cold, and the cans don't break or swell. There's just, and the grains are living. They are a living grain, and you can plant them. So I think that's a good idea, to get living grains. And I do like wheat, or the parent of wheat, spelt. But some people can't get a whole lot of things, but everyone can get a little bit of white rice, sugar, oil, and salt, and gallons of water. Now, how much of each one you get? Everybody has their own storage situation where they can put things or they can't put things. They have so much money that they spend or they can't spend. But just to have a little bit of extra, it does not have to be the best of foods. Just get something. Those basics. White rice lasts and lasts. Sugar, oil, and salt lasts and lasts. And water, definitely get water. Have it stored in whatever you can put it in, 1 gallon containers or a 55-gallon drum. I do send my preparedness list for anyone who wants one for free. I do try to give you some ideas. I mentioned things like spices and vitamins and a propane stove. And everybody has lists. I have one. Lots of organizations have them. And so use them to stimulate your own thoughts and make a list. You have to start someplace. Don't worry, but do make a plan and then start. Do something. And if you wait until people recognize that there is some urgent need to get ready, well, then the store shelves will pretty much be emptied. Get the things now while the supplies are plentiful. You don't know if the store shelves run out. You don't know if the gas stations run out of gas. You don't know if the stores will have electricity. And you know that if the stores don't have electricity, they can't sell anything. So think about that physical preparation. Think, plan, and do. Now, my little preparedness brochure is, like I said, it's free, but I would like you to send me a stamped, self-addressed envelope. That's John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. Again, John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. So remember, there are lots of other people, agencies, corporations, people who have preparedness information. Give it a look and see what you think. And then make your own list. These things are to give you ideas about what makes sense. Remember that you won't remember everything, but you can remember some things. And everybody has their own ideas about what is important and what they should be putting on a preparedness list. So look at them and discern what it is that you want. So many people have them. Agencies, corporations, they all have them. But you have to look. You have to make that your own list and figure these things out based on your budget and what you view as important. Besides, as a Christian, we want to be the ones who help other people and not the ones who need help. And in order to help other people, it's good to help other people. What do we need to do to help other people? We have to have things on hand. Yep, think about it, because that's the beginning. You think, you plan, and you do. We have lots of reasons for things to deteriorate. Our society is declining, and our politicians are not able to do their jobs, it seems. They're not able to protect the people of the United States, it seems. We have different aspects of that same concern. One thing is that the North American Free Trade Agreement, NAFTA, that was signed in 1993 for implementation in 1994. And it allowed and it encouraged U.S. manufacturers to leave the United States. And they did. And they took thousands of factories down and rebuilt them in other countries. They took thousands of jobs away from this country and gave them to other countries. So our good-paying jobs have left. So the rich in the world have gotten richer, and they also have written articles about how good NAFTA was for our country. Well, not the way I see it. From the people's point of view, I think it was a terrible thing, and our politicians walked right into it because they saw the importance of being a part of a world order and being a good citizen of the world. Well, that's good, but don't neglect your own, and that means the U.S. citizens. So what has happened? We have gotten more unemployment, more underemployment, and poverty has increased. Our unemployment rolls are so great now, we are facing difficulties. But I bring this up as an example to say that politicians and governments are not able to take care of you. It is you who should be taking care of yourself and the people who you love around you. Take care of people. Take care of your loved ones, of your family. It's a struggle. I know it is, and I know it's not easy. We all have to figure out how to get a little bit extra so that we can have some supplies on hand. It's not easy in these days when our government is bankrupt and our financial system could easily collapse. Society's morality is declining. It's falling apart. So with all these things falling apart, how can we expect our system to hold together? We don't rely on God for things. We don't ask, or maybe we do, but so many people don't anymore. The system could easily collapse. So what do we need to take care of ourselves? What are those basic needs? I think those basic needs start with food, and they go to so many other things, and that is a matter of your own decisions and discernments. Throughout history, there have been many, many countries and many financial systems that have collapsed, and that just seems to be how things go. It's the order of things. Countries collapse, especially when there is a central bank. And we have one. Most countries, almost every single country in the world, has a central bank. It does not look good. Collapse seems to be coming. So do what you can to take care of yourself. Keep your own backyard stable, or the little area that you can, keep it secured as much as you can. And what are the basics? Well, they revolve around people, and they revolve around life. And freedom is a part of it too. The most basics are air, water, food, and warmth. We need those things. And then we can expand that however we want. Now, each one of those areas can be divided into some others. You just think about it. Air, water, food, and warmth. And then you add any other elements that you want. It could be transportation, like your bicycle, or a little gasoline, or your phone might be a part of it, a solar generator. Communication, tools, medical, or medicines that you need, flashlights, batteries, lots of batteries, paper, pencils, books, all these things, there aren't any limits as to what it is that we would desire to have on hand. But start. You have to start someplace, and you have to look at it. If you never look in depth, well, you just won't have an idea where to start. After you start, you will refine your ideas. So start today. Prepare for that future of the just in case. We don't know what'll happen, but we can see that there are indications of huge, gigantic troubles. So just think about them and then do something. Ha! That's what I say. We each have a different view. We each view each different part of this differently, and that's an advantage. But take responsibility for yourself, for your family, for the people around you, in whatever ways that you can foresee. I think the Bible teaches us. We find Bible lessons in the Bible about taking care and having supplies. We also see where food is shared, like in the first century church, where all things were held in common. And there was the example of the Good Samaritan who took such good care of that injured man. But there's other parables that talk a little different, like the 10 virgins. 5 were wise and 5 were foolish, and they did not have the oil they needed. So the 5 wise told the 5 foolish to go buy oil for themselves. So they didn't share everything they had. There wasn't enough to go around. They needed to do what they had to do to get to the wedding feast of the Lamb, the marriage supper of the Lamb. So there are many lessons in the Bible, and one of them is, if a man shall not work, he shall not eat. So there's different things. You can see it as conflict, or you can see it all in the same direction, because they are uniformly tied together. But there are different teachings for different times. So study the matter, and above all, prepare for your personal relationship with Jesus the Christ. His name is Jesus. His position is the Christ, the chosen one of God. And that relationship includes being born again. And after that, I say, study God's letter. His letter is called the Bible. And then after that, then I say, prepare physically. So there's just things to do. Have a look at it. Do what you can. And Pray for the peace of the world, the peace of Jerusalem. We are in a situation where anything in this world could happen. Anything. So, knowing that, take some steps, take some measures, just to be wise. But look at it. Look at the situation and determine what you ought to do. I want to thank you for listening today. And you can always listen on the internet too. So that's www.christtoday.org, and you can listen to past broadcasts. That is all lowercase, otherwise you get to a different website. Thank you for listening, and until next week, may you walk with God, and may God walk with you.